B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Memvov. We're going to start from the next Mishnah, approximately in the middle of Daf Memvov Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Botzeik HaCheresh. Cheresh is literally translated as a deaf person. A deaf person is an interesting phenomenon that he's got ears, but he can't hear. And more than that, when you see somebody with ears, you can't always know, can he actually hear with his ears or not? So here you've got this botzik, this dough, and you've kneaded it, and you've waited somewhat, and you can't see the signs. The typical signs that it has fermented and become chometz are not present. You cannot see it. The question is this dough chometz or not? What do we do? So the Mishnah says, im yesh kayetzeboy, If you have another dough that was made at the same time as that dough, and there you can see that it's become chometz, harei zeh osur, then even this dough, even though you cannot see the signs that it's chometz, is also osur and has to be treated as chometz. Rashi's got a second explanation that cheresh doesn't mean deaf, it means like clay cheres, like earthenware, that it's very hard. And in this context, it means a type of dough that's harder than your regular dough, and therefore the signs that it has fermented and is becoming chometz take longer to be seen. And therefore we have this discussion, is it chometz, is it not chometz? Says the Gemara, im ein sham kayetzeboy, mahu. What do you do with such a dough if you haven't got another dough that was kneaded at the same time from which we would be able to determine whether this dough is chometz or not? Then how long do you have to have let the dough possibly rise or let it sit till you know that this may well have become chometz and has to be treated as such? Omer bavohu, Omer b'shimon ben Lakish, k'dei shi'halich odom mimigdal nunya l'tveria, the amount of time it takes to walk from a place called Migdal Nunya till Tveria. How much is that? Mil. It's a mil, which is 2,000 amos. Asks the Gemara, the name of mil. Why did Yerub Avohu in the name of Reb Shimon ben Lakish say that it's the amount of time it takes to go from Migdal Nunya to Tveria? Just say that it's a 2,000 amos, as long as it takes to walk 2,000 amos. Answers the Gemara, Hokumashmalon. This is what Rosh Lakish was trying to impress on us. The Shi'ura de Mil, how much is a mil? A mil is just a measure, but people don't always know how much is a mil. So he says, well, everybody knows where Migdal Nunya is, everybody knows where Tveria is. To walk from one to the other, that is a mil. Komash Malon, the Shi'ura de Mil, come in Migdal Nunya, v'at Tveria, that's how much a mil is. Continues the Gemara. And this is another Reb Avohu, in the name of Reb Shimon ben Lakish, and also talking about distances, but this time nothing to do with Pesach. Omer Reb Avohu, Omer Reb Shimon ben Lakish. Legabil, if somebody's been hired to knead dough, and it's to be assumed that the balabais, the person who's asking him to knead his dough, wants to have a dough that is tohir. The problem is that this person comes to the balabais's home, where all the ingredients are, and the kalim, and he realizes that the kalim of the balabais are tomei. And if he's going to make dough in the balabais's kalim, the dough is not going to be tohir, it's going to be tomei. So the only other option is that you've been hired to knead a tohir dough, go and be tovel the kalim. The problem is there's no mikveh here, there's what we would call a kalim mikveh, there's nowhere to tovel. But there is a mikveh down the road someplace. How far does this person have to go to tovel these kalim? And beyond that point, a person can say, I'm not expected or required to go further than this point, and either the balabais pays me extra to make the trip, or I'm going to use the available kalim. That's the first point of discussion. Vilit fila, if somebody's traveling on the way, and he wants to go and rest, he's come to an inn, to a resting place, and he wants to daven. Before you go to bed, you have to daven. So he wants to daven, but there's no shul just here. There is a shul someplace down the road. How far does he have to go in order to daven in a shul? And I would assume that this means to daven with a minyan. In Rashi just says that to daven in a shul. Rabbeinu Chananel adds that this is in search for water. If you need water before you daven, you need to wash your hands. and especially if your hands are dirty or soiled, and how far do you have to go in search for water? That's how Rabbeinu Chananel learns it. Ula netilas yadayim, you want to have a bread meal, and the halacha is you have to wash your hands, you don't have water, how far do you have to continue along your journey till and wait before you eat in search for water? And how far do we say no? You haven't got water, you can just, you know, wipe your hands clean and use the resources you have and eat your meal. So says Rabbi Avohu in the name of Resh Lakish, Arba Omilin, 8,000 amis. The amount of time it takes to go 4 mil, that's how much you have to go to be metahir, the kalim for the kneading, for a shul to davenin, and water for netilas yadayim. Omer of Nachman bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok says, it wasn't Reb Avohu who said this in the name of Reb Shimon ben Lakish, it was Aivu Omru. It was a similar name to Reb Avohu, and somebody got confused. It was Aivu in the name of Resh Lakish that said this. And he didn't say three things, like you just said, Legabel v'letfila, and for Netilas Yadayim, v'arba omarba. He actually said there's four things that you need to travel 4 mil for. V'chodem inayu, three we know, Legabel, Litfila, and Netilas Yadayim. What's the fourth? Ibud. V'chodem inayu is Ibud. Ditnan, we learnt in a Mishnah. V'chulon she'ibdon. V'chulon means all those soft skins, soft hides of the animals that are edible and are they have the status of a food item. And as we've learnt previously, food items can become tomei. When they lose their status of food items, then many of the halachas of Tumah and Taira change. So these skins, these hides, remain a state of oichel, of food, but she'ibdon, but if he tanned them, if he worked on the skins, what they used to do is with the skins, the one part of what the process was, they would spread out the hides where people would trample, and people would trample on them. If it was trampled on or worked upon, the amount that is necessary to be considered, that the skins are considered as having been worked on, then tohirin, they lose their status of being edible flesh or hides, and they receive the status of being skin or leather, but not food. Chutz mi'ora, odom, besides for the skin of a human being, where even if it's been worked on, it does not lose the status of the skin of a person. V'kamo kedei avoida. How much is this? How much time is considered kedei avoida, that if it was worked on or trampled on, that it's considered that it's been worked on, it's now got the status of a skin, of leather, not of meat, of food. The amount it takes to walk, 4 milim, that's the amount of time that's called kedei avoida. And that was the fourth thing that Aivu said needs is measured by time, which is the distance of 4 mil. Omer b'yesi b'rab chanina, Loishanu elolofonov. We're only talking about, that means of these four things, those that belong, or those that are talking about people on a journey, for example, looking for a shul or netilas yodaim, then it's only talking about that you need to go 4 mil if it's going lefonov, if it's in front of him. If the 4 mil are continuing on your journey, for example, you're looking for a shul, then you have a shul within 4 mil, then providing, says Rashi, that you can rest there, you don't need to come back afterwards, you would have an inn or some resting place near the shul, then you have to go up to 4 mil and go to the shul. And the same would apply for Netilas Yadayim. You're on the journey, you want to eat. If you have water within 4 mil, you're required to walk the 4 mil and find the and use the water. And don't eat without Netilas Yadayim within that distance. Avol achirov, but to go backwards, to go back on your tracks and lengthen your journey, afilu mil einei chazer, you do not need to go back, even if the distance is just a mil. Omer v'acha. Rav Acha says, "Umino." From the words of Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, we can understand that mil hu de'enei chayzer. You don't need to go backwards to a mil, ha pochis mimil. But if the distance is less than a mil, it's even less than 2,000 amos away, chayzer, then you should go back. So if you have a shul with a resting place, or if you have a shul that's less than a mil even if you have to go back on your tracks, or if there's water less than a mil away from where you are, even if you have to go back to where to fetch the water, that's what you're required to do. Continues the next Mishnah. Ketzad mafrishin chalo betumo b'yom tov. If somebody has, we're talking about the first day of Pesach, it's Yom Tov, and he has a dough, and he wants to bake this dough into matzahs. But we know that if you have a large enough dough, you have to take challah, which means you have to take a certain part off and give it to the kohen. Over here, this dough was tumah, and when you take the challah is going to be challah, which is tomei. So no kohen, you're not going to give it to a kohen, and a kohen is not allowed to eat it at all. You're not allowed to eat challah, which is tomei, but you do have to be mafrish the challah. The problem is it's Yom Tov. And since if it wouldn't be Yom Tov, I'll take a little bit of dough of challah and I'll just burn it. And then I'm allowed to burn it because it's challah which is tomei. It won't become chometz and I'll be able to eat the rest of the matzahs. However, over here, it's on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to burn the challah because we don't burn kochim or challah, chuma or challah on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And so I've got a dough and whichever way I hold it, I'm going to have a problem. If I don't be mafrish challah, then this whole dough, this one of the matzahs that I'm baking, is ultimately going to become challah after I bake it, and that challah is then going to be also to be eaten, and it will turn out that I baked something on Yom Tov that I couldn't eat on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to bake on Yom Tov unless you can eat it on Yom Tov, unless you're planning or able at least to eat it on Yom Tov. And if I'm not going to bake it and I'm going to be mafrish the challah, this challah is going to become chometz, it's dough. And if you just leave dough sitting around, it's going to become chometz, which is also not allowed. There's an issa of bal yiroi and bal yimotze. You're not allowed to own, see chometz in your home. So how are we going to get out of this? I've got a dough, I want to bake for matzahs, but there's a section of it which is challah, which I'm going to be stuck with, and I'm not allowed to bake it because I can't eat it. I can't be mafrish, I can't separate it, because if I can't bake it, it's going to become chometz. What do we do? So we're going to the Gemara's, the Mishnah is going to have three tanoim, three different opinions. Ketzad mafrishin chala betuma b'yomtev. The first opinion is Rebbe Eliezer oimer, loy tikra loshem. First and foremost, don't take the chala yet. Keep all the dough together and make all your matzahs with it, and and bake it. After you've baked it, then it, now that it's all baked and nothing can become chometz anymore, you can be mafrish challah. And how could you bake all of them when you knew that one of them you wouldn't be able to eat, it was going to become challah, and challah cannot be eaten, how could you bake it? So Rashi says that every single matzah that you baked could have potentially been eaten, and theoretically you could even bake every single matzah and just leave a little corner of each matzah to be called challah, and then you had permission to bake the whole thing, even though a corner of it you wouldn't be able to eat. Since most of it or part of it you can eat, that gives you permission to bake the whole matzah. Afterwards, if you choose to take a single matzah aside and call that challah for all the matzahs, you may be able to do that, and we're going to understand these concepts more on Daf Memches. But either way, you're allowed to bake all of them. And the main problem is, or the main concern is, make sure that you don't take the challah. Once you've taken challah, you're going to have a problem with it. Once you've taken the challah, and if you don't bake it, it's going to become chometz. If it becomes chometz, you're going to have a problem with it. Let's avoid that. Bake all the matzahs and then be mafrish challah. And that is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Ben Beseira says an interesting idea. He says, Tatil b'tzoinon, be mafrish your challah. You now have a piece of dough that's not allowed to be baked because you're not allowed to eat it. Nobody can eat it. So what do? You don't want it to become chometz. Put it into cold water and just leave it there. And being in cold water will prevent it from becoming chometz. Omer Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says another idea. Loy zeu chometz shemuzhorin olov bebal yireo bebal yimotze. There's no problem to take a little bit of dough and say, this piece of dough is challah. And indeed, now that you've called it challah, you can't bake it. But we're not worried. It's going to become chometz. It's not yours. Since it's not yours, it belongs to Hektish, it belongs to the Koyanim, it's challah, it's not regular dough, it's not yours, and therefore there's no bal yireo and bal yimotze. Elo mafrish also, you should be mafrish, you should separate the chala, umanichoso ad erev, and just leave it till the night. In the night, it's motzi yom tov, you can burn it. And there's no issue with that. Ve'imichmitza, if it became chomets, in the meantime it became chomets, and you have not transgressed bali roya and bali motze. So the main point that we have, that the Gemara is now going to discuss, that we have a machlekes Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua, we're not going to talk about Ben Baseira now. Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua, they argue, is there a problem with if taking the truma, the challah has the same halachas as truma, but taking the challah and allowing it to become chometz. According to Rebbe Yeshua, he says, lo yizehu chometz shemuzharin olav, it's not yours. There's no problem of bali roya and bali motze. Rebbe Eliezer is concerned, and therefore he says, bake everything, the whole dough, bake all the matzahs, and take care of the challah afterwards. We have to understand what's the point of their argument. Lema, so the Gemara is going to have two suggestions. The first one is lema b'toivas hanor komifligi. Toivas hanor means a little bit of benefit, and it's actually benefit that is worth money. If you have matnus kuna, you know that every week you're making chalas, you're making matzahs, and you take a little bit of challah, you've got to give it to a kohen. Which kohen? You can choose any kohen you want. If a friend of that kohen were to come to you and say, listen, here, I'll give you a little bit of money, do me a favor, give all the challah that you're separating and give it to a specific kohen. He's allowed to do that. You're allowed to take a little bit of money in order to be encouraged to give, to channel the matnois kohuna, these trumas and maestras, to a specific kohen. So if so, since I could take money to choose who to give this challah to, so there's some monetary value, that there is something in this challah which is mine, that's called toivas hanor. So according to Rebbe Eliezer, he says toivas hanor ha-momoin, which means that even after you've separated this challah, now that you've separated this challah, it's true that it doesn't really belong to you, but there's something in it which has value to you, and that's the toivas hanor. You could sell to somebody the right to choose who to give it to, so then it's yours. And if it's going to become chometz, it's as if something of yours became chometz, and you'll transgress bali roya, bali motze. And that's why Rebbe Eliezer says, make sure to bake all of them and then take the challah. Rebbe Eliezer sova toivas hanor momin, and the Mefarshim discuss here what toivas hanor is there on challah which is tomei. You can't give it, there's no point in giving it to a kohen, the kohen can't eat it. It's something discussed in the Mefarshim. Rebbe Yeshua sova, Rebbe Yeshua argues on exactly this point and says toivas hanor eino momin. As once I separate it as challah, this challah is slated for a kohen, it's not mine. The fact that somebody can give me a few coins and bribe me to give it to a specific kohen, that doesn't mean that the challah is mine. The challah is not mine. Since the challah is not mine, it's included in what we've learned, that the issur of bali roya is only if it's yours. Shelecho I atoroya. Here it's not yours, you haven't taken responsibility for it in any way, you haven't even given it to a kohen yet, so you're certainly not responsible to any specific kohen, and therefore it's not considered that your dough became chometz, and there's no bali roya, and therefore Rebbe Yeshua says, no problem, you can be mafresh the challah, v'im hichmitza, hichmitza. Says the Gemara Loi. No, it doesn't have to be that that's the machlokes between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua as to whether toivas hanor is called momin or not called momin. Dekule alma sovra toivas hanor eino momin. It could well be that even Rebbe Eliezer says toivas hanor is not called momin, and nonetheless we have an issue with this becoming chometz. What could be the issue? I've mafrish challah. If I'm mafrish challah, it belongs to the kohen. It's not mine. If it becomes chometz, it becomes chometz. And if you say toivas hanor is not called momin, what part of it is mine? Says the Gemara, no. It could still become yours. How could it become yours? I was mafrish challah. If I was mafrish challah. Yes, there's a concept called ho'il, something we've seen a couple of times already, which means since. That means I have the power in my hands to make this challah actually become mine. That means if it were to become chometz, this chometz could actually ultimately, retroactively, become mine. How? Anything that became kodosh, whether it's hektosh or truma, by verbal expression, challah for example, you take a piece of dough off the whole dough and you say, this is challah. Since it was a verbal expression that made it into challah, therefore there's something called that you can go to a chacham and you can actually be matir that. You can undo that. And if you undo it, then it's not the kohen's anymore. It loses its status of challah. The question is, do we agree with this concept called ho'il or not? So that's going to be the machlekas. Rabbi Eliezer is going to say there is a concept called ho'il. And since if I would be shoyl, if I would undo this transaction, if I would undo this expression of making this piece of dough into challah, then it will no longer be the kohen's, it will be mine. And if it's chometz, it's my chometz, I'll transgress. Bal yiroi, bal yimotze. So the Gemara says, hocha b'hoyl, kamifligi, they're arguing as to what extent we use this logic, if at all, called hoyl, since. Rabbi Eliezer sova amrin on hoyl. Rabbi Eliezer says, you say hoyl. Hoyl v'iboya itchilalo. If I would choose to be shoyl, to undo the transaction and undo this dough becoming chala, then mamoinehu, then it's going to be his. Because it's not called chala anymore. And if it's mine and it's chometz, that's an issue. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, don't make it chometz. Just bake it all. Bake it all first, and then you'll be mafresh the challah. Rabbi Yeshua Sova. Rabbi Yeshua says, Lo yomrin on hoyil. We don't say that you hoyil, since you could undo this challah, and therefore, since you don't say hoyil, then it's not yours. There's nothing about this challah that's yours. We don't even recognize the idea that you could undo the challah. So if it's not yours, it belongs to the kohen, as he said in the Mishnah. Im hechmitza, hechmitza. We don't mind. Continues the Gemara, and now the Gemara is going to digress to the topic of hoyl. Itmar, ha'oyfem yom tov l'chol. We know there's a pasuk in the Torah that says, kol malach, lo yisase kol malacha, you're not allowed to do any malacha on yom tov. That's the pasuk that Rashi brings. You're not allowed to do anything on yom tov unless you need it for oichel nefesh, unless it's something you're going to eat on yom tov. And if you bake from Yom Tov in preparation for the day after Yom Tov, in the event that it's a regular weekday, that's a biblical issa. Rav Chisda Omar Loika, Rav Chisda says that if you bake from Yom Tov for a weekday, you're going to get Malkus. Rabba Omar Eino Loika, Rabba says you're not going to get Malkus. Rav Chisda Omar Loika, why does Rav Chisda say Loika? Why do you get Malkus? Loi Omrinon Hoyelu Mikli Le Orchim Chazile. Rav Chisda says, you've already eaten your meal. You're not planning to eat today. You haven't even got room in your stomach to eat anymore. So you bake today. Obviously for tomorrow, you get Malkus. Rabba Omar, Rabba says, no, Eino Loike, you don't get Malkus. Omrin on Hoyl, you say Hoyl. You say, since if guests would arrive now, I would give them these baked challahs, matzahs, anything baked, these cakes, I would give it to my guests on Yom Tov. How can you give me Malkus for baking today when the products, the loaves that I've baked, may well be used today? I don't know about guests, and maybe guests won't come. But Hoyl, since there's a possibility that guests would arrive, and then I would give it to them, and then it would transpire that I baked for Yom Tov itself, you cannot give me Malkus. That's what Rabbi says. Rabbi says, Ein eloike kos amrin on hoil. Omale rabbe le Rav Chisda. Rabbe is now challenging Rav Chisda. Leditcha, according to Rav Chisda, de omris lo amrin on hoil, that you Rav Chisda say we don't say hoil. If you baked something and it's not for you, for Yom Tov, you get Malkus. Heich oifin mi Yom Tov le Shabbos. How can you bake on Yom Tov if the next day is Shabbos? We all know that if Yom Tov is on a Friday, or in Chutz Loretz if it's Thursday, Friday, but if Yom Tov is on a Friday, then you can bake on Friday for Shabbos and preparing for Shabbos. Cook, bake. How can you cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos? Omar Lee, she answered him back, I'll tell you why. Mishum Eruvei Tavshilin. If you say Hoyel, there's no problem, because you can say, since if guests would arrive on Yom Tov, I would give them this food to eat, and therefore I can consider it as if I prepared it for Yom Tov. But if you don't say hoyl, then what you've baked on Yom Tov, you know, how can you bake for Shabbos for the next day? So he says, what do you mean? We all know there's a concept called Eruv Tavshilin, which we're not going to learn about now at length, but there's a concept called Eruvei Tavshilin. Omale mishum Eruvei Tavshilin, which really means if you started baking or cooking for Shabbos before Yom Tov, you can continue even on Yom Tov. So the Gemara asks, "Mishum eruvei tavshilin shorin on isurei d'oraisa?" I don't understand. Baking or cooking from Yom Tov in preparation for after Yom Tov for another day is an isa d'oraisa. Just because you didn't eruv tavshilin, it can undo and override an isa min ha-Torah? Omer Lehi says no. Mid-Oraisa tzorchei Shabbos nasim b'Yom Tov. Since Shabbos and Yom Tov are both considered kodesh, they're both termed Shabbos. They share the same title, a similar status, and therefore preparing, you're only not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to a weekday, but from Yom Tov to Shabbos min ha-Torah is mutar. V'rabbonon u'degozrebe, the Rabbonon said, don't prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, gezeiro shemayoyim ru'oifen miyoyim tov af l'chol. People might make a mistake and think, in the same way as I can bake from Yom Tov in preparation for Shabbos, I can also prepare from Yom Tov to a regular weekday after Yom Tov. But it's only also mid'rabbonon, because I'm baking on Yom Tov for Shabbos, not for a weekday. The kiven ditzichu rabbonon eruvei tavshilin. Once the chachomim said, make an eruv tavshilin, isli hakeru. There's a clear distinction and recognition between baking between Yom Tov and Shabbos and Yom Tov and a weekday, and therefore they allowed to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Eisvei, the Gemara is now asking another question. Behemo musukenes. And this is a halacha. What happens if you have an animal that looks very sick and ill, and you're afraid it's going to die? If this animal dies, you can't eat it. It's an avela. You can't do anything with it. However, if you shecht it quick enough before it dies, obviously in the hope that it's not a treifa, then you can eat it. So what happens if it's on Yom Tov and I'm not hungry anymore? I'm not hungry. I've had my meal, and I see this animal, this cow, is about to die, or maybe is at risk. And the best thing to do is to shecht it. But it's Yom Tov. I'm allowed to shecht for Yom Tov in order to have what to eat after Yom Tov? No. So the halacha is behemam hamusukenes lo yishchot. You're not allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov unless one thing. If you have enough time in the day that you can shecht it, you can take off its skin, you can cut away a kazayis of the flesh, at least a kazayis of its flesh, that you can do the shortest type of cooking, which is actually called tzli, roasting it. Just take the shortest process to prepare it, to make it edible, which is tzli, and to eat it. You have enough time for all that before the end of Yom Tov. In that case, you're allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov. If you have enough time to do all the preparations up until eating a kazayis of tzli, of roasted, of this animal that you're shechting, then it's okay. So the Gemara deduces from there, as long as I have enough time that I could eat it, I'm allowed to shecht it, even though I don't want to eat. Since I have enough time that I could have eaten, it's enough. So bishleim ledidi domrin and hoil to omri hoil. According to me, that I say that hoil, there is a concept of since. Then since I could eat it, it allows me to shecht it. Hoil v'iboy lemechel motzi ochel. Since hoil, if I would want to eat it, I could eat it. I have enough time to eat it. It's okay. Mishum hocha yishchoy. That's why you can shecht it. Elo leditcha. According to you, the omrus lo yomrin on hoil. You say that we don't use this logic called hoil since. Amay yishchoy. How can you eat it? How can you shecht it if you know you're not going to eat from it? Because it says that as long as there's enough time that potentially you could have eaten, even though you don't want to eat from it. Well, if you don't want to eat from it, how can you shecht it on Yom Tov? You're not allowed to shecht on Yom Tov if you don't want to eat from it on Yom Tov. Answers the Gemara, Omale, Mishum Hefsid Mamoinoi. You're right, it should be an issue. I don't say hoil, but since I'm potentially at risk of losing a lot of money, it's allowed. Asks the Gemara, Mishum Hefsid Mamoinoi Sharina Nisura Doiraisa. You're not allowed to do a malocha on Yom Tov in preparation for the next day. You can't shecht on Yom Tov when you know you're only going to eat it the next day. And if you don't say hoil, then the fact that I could eat it on Yom Tov is not good enough. So it's an Issa Doraisa for you to shecht it on Yom Tov. Just because I'm going to lose money allows us to transgress an Issa Doraisa. Omale set him in. In this case, you're allowed to. Why? Because in this case, even though I don't really have eaten, I don't really have to eat, but Mishum Hefsud Mamoinoi, since I know that I could lose a lot of money, and I know that in order to be able to save this cow, I have to be able to eat from the cow. I'm a prepared and I'm ready to force myself to eat a kazayis just in order to save the cow. Gomar belibo, he made a commitment in his heart. Lechel kazayis, I'm going to eat a kazayis. Ve'ef shel kazayis possible shechita. Since I'm allowed to shecht a whole animal in order to eat just a kazayis, because even just to eat a kazayis, I need shechita. So the maisa, the melocha of shechita, I can do in order to eat a kazayis. And I'm prepared to eat a kazayis on Yom Tov in order to save my cow. You're prepared to eat, you're going to eat a kazayis, you're committed to eat a kazayis, you're committed to eat a kazayis, no problem, then you can shecht it. Make sure you have time to get to that point of shechting, preparing the animal, and actually preparing a kazayis to become edible. The shortest amount of time is what it takes to do tzliya, to roast it, no problem. If you're committed to eat a kazayis, you can eat a kazayis, and you can shecht the animal on Yom Tov. In the next shir, we're going to continue further with this sugya.